Welcome to the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, founder and CEO of Outward Media. Outward Media is a trusted data partner to Fortune 2000 businesses and startups alike. We provide the highest quality audience data to fuel engaged, integrated, omnichannel campaigns. Our mission is to deliver real data, real results, and invaluable reach to real people. Welcome, everyone. I am Paula Keoki, CEO of Outward Media, and this is the B2B Influence Spotlight podcast. Today, our guest is Oksana Matvichuk. I promised I would not destroy her name. She is the founder of Strategic Forecaster. Welcome, Oksana.
Thank you so much, Paula. I'm very glad to join you in this podcast.
Thank you. One of the reasons we want to have Oksana is because she is heavily involved in strategic forecasting, involving scalable marketing frameworks and timely pivots to help B2B companies stay ahead of market shifts. It's a big deal because Oksana works from both startups to major global brands, and that's a lot to get your arms around. So I'm excited to have you today so you can share some of your insights. So let's dive in. You've guided global brands and startups through transformations. What's the biggest shift you've seen in B2B marketing strategy over the past year? And how has that influenced the way you advise your clients today, Oksana?
For the last year, the major change that has happened and is continuing to happen and is continuing to grow is, of course, AI, which is changing the business model. Mm-hmm. When we talk about marketing per se, I want everyone to understand that marketing, I don't want to say that this is secondary. However, what I want to highlight is that marketing is, and the quality of marketing and the success of marketing oftentimes is a reflection of the business model. Mm-hmm. So what happens, and oftentimes I saw it through two decades of my career, when the client comes to an advertising agency and say, I don't have enough leads, or like I'm losing my audience, I'm losing my market share, and please fix the advertising or please fix the marketing. In 100%, this is not the case. So the problem and the cause of this change lies in the business model and in the business model relevancy to the fast changing world. Because we, for many times, we lived in the world where we had more or less steady business models, and then it was marketing, which was our number one priority. In improving marketing, you could grow market share, you could grow profitability, so you could do things. Now it's still important, however, the change of the business model and the relevance, the keeping relevance, remaining relevant, because we have so many things changing from the AI to generational shifts and all of that. So in that sense, I would always recommend to start with revision of the business model first, when you have the first signs that your marketing is not good as it used to be.
And I think you brought up an important point, because the generational shift, I think the latest thing I read was about 70% of the B2B buyers now are millennial. And they think very differently from, say, a baby boomer or a Generation X. So do you advise on that level as well, as on how to communicate to the generations?
Absolutely. I think one of the latest, like my corporate involvement is actually was built on revealing the trend that millennials are buying very differently. Mm-hmm. And this is where the digital sales room makes sense. They make sense for millennials that don't make sense for baby boomers.
Yes.
So what we saw that in B2B marketing, and this is how all B2B marketing was working. I am getting as much leads as I can possibly get. Then I qualify leads into the one that I really need. And then I have a really strong sales team who takes the lead and leads it to the closure. So this is how the industry worked.
Right.
A couple of things happen. So first, when B2B, they always have been human because you're selling to human. But you were dealing with the B2B committee, 10 people, five. Yep. You're very lucky. And There was a lot of different drivers, psychological and professional, to actually close the sale. And when the COVID hit, it was very interesting because I think like the whole humanity became closer to being human. So this is kind of like the first shift, and probably it was two trends together, the COVID and staying at home and accepting that like being a human is normal, and the generational shift. And then we saw a lot of shifts into how people are actually buying. And we need to understand that only 5%, based on LinkedIn, are active buyers in any category at any moment of time.
Okay.
This
That's a statistic I have not heard, so that's not very big.
yeah, this is totally, this is not very big. And this explains the long cycles on one end. And this definitely explains that when you are approaching to such complex and long sales cycle, from just relying on your sales team who will be leading the client, it's not the best way, right? So you needed to build, and I think that in B2B, it's very important. We all marketers, we use this funnel analogy, like the top of the funnel, bottom of the funnel. However, in the B2B, since you're dealing with the buying committee, it's basically a cylinder. It was also a concept, but it was unnoticed. When at any moment of time, person can come in and go at different stages of the funnel, and this entrance should be available, widely available at every stage. And this is how we got content. This is how we got B2B brand building. Because like when we just started the B2B, I think about 10 years ago, it was not the case. So all B2B was sales rep and conferences and
Yes.
human affairs process, right? So I think we need to understand how millennials now are expecting to have a smooth digital purchasing process. And it's not only related to SaaS products, right? It's
Right.
related to everything. And then during this process, at some moments, a millennial wants to talk to a human.
Yes.
And this where the human should be available. However, this barrier, it's not barrier, it's a preference of millennials not to do as much as they can digitally and autonomously. I think this is a game changer for the whole industry.
And are you seeing that, Oksana, even with big ticket items?
Yes,
Yeah.
yes. This is
Yeah.
exactly what I saw because I think that big ticket clients, they're noticing it the first. Because the way the big clients are organized, they have multiple business units. And typically, if something happens as a market trend, you start to hear it from different business units in one, like one complaint. So our leads are not closing that much. We think that we have a lower quality of leads. Okay, so let's.
They always say that.
Okay, everybody say like it's a mantra.
Yeah.
It doesn't help much, but it's a like conversation starter. And even when you're trying to work with the highly qualified leads and deep dive into like why people are not buying and everything, that it's not like about the product, it's not about the pricing. It's just like something different happens, which has never happened before. And this is how you spot the generational change. So something happened which you have not seen before. And you cannot attribute it to any understanding. So we didn't spend enough, we didn't invest enough in B2B brand, and that is why our leads are not closing. Our product is not ideal, a competitor is better. So those are the common reasons why B2B sales is not happening. But when there is something else, like all those remains the same, but the sales are not happening, it means that there is a trend that you don't see.
Okay.
And not identifying this trend today when the trends are really, really fast is the real challenge for most of the businesses. And in that sense, the larger businesses, I think they have more advantage and they're more under risk over their size and like how slowly typically they react just because of their size.
So do you see that they spend more time in the nurture tracks within the CRM systems to try to move that buyer further? Or how do you think that they're addressing that? Is it a timing issue?
I can see that they're not getting the leads are not moving through the funnel as much. So they're getting 100% of the leads that they have been getting. But then when it comes to the movement, every time when there is a disruption and there is no settled digital step to the next step, this is where the leads falls off. And this has not been the case because you could fix it with the human sales representative earlier, but now it's not where the fix like lies, right? So the truth for the millennial is the digital experience. It's like what's real for which generation, right? So the truth for millennial is that like I went through digital experience, it worked, I got what I expected to get, and I can move forward. If there is no such experience in place, this is where millennial is like, okay, so how like how I'm gonna work with this company if I cannot rely on such simple things as getting the digital experience according to my expectations. So I think that this is very important right now to realize and to understand for B2B players that you need to have this seamless experience from the beginning till the end to attract millennials and make them feel comfortable with.
That's a big undertaking for, especially the bigger the brand, right?
Yes.
Trying to solve that and respond to it. So you founded OM Strategic Forecasting to bring strategic clarity to scaling businesses. What are some of the early signals you look for that tell you a company needs to pivot or that its current strategy isn't built for long-term scalability?
When I look at the company, I look at the scalability unit. So whether the company, I look typically, I start with the portfolio and with the team. So in the portfolio, there are two instances. The first instance is it can be a legacy portfolio. So we have been doing something successfully and then we started to add new things. And now we have this portfolio. So when we are talking about highly effective business model, all portfolio needs to be interconnected to make sure that you walk your client through all the stages from early maturity to like really high maturity. And some you grow with some clients. Some clients don't need that much of a scale, and this is totally okay. But what you need to have a portfolio which evolves with the clients. It gives the client the opportunity to start small and then to evolve. So this is the portfolio, and this is when you have this, you need to have one scalable unit. So you need to have one service or product which you fully understand how to get the client, that the business unit works, the economy works. And then that you can deliver, and then you can scale. So you have one client now, and you can serve 10 clients, or you can scale to 100 clients with scaling team or resource. So if the company has that, then probably the challenges lie is in the like what the trend, where the market is moving, how the value is shifting through the evolvement of the market. If the company doesn't have that, this and the company has more, I don't want to say random, but not that much connected type of the services, this is where the major potential for change and for growth lies. So this is like what I start to look into when I start to work with the company. And the second very important, of course, is the executive team because you need to understand the people who are standing behind that. And you need to understand what were the aspirations of those people when they did start this business. So those are like two major items that I begin with. And I would recommend, so of course, I can look into the team and understanding the team motivation and aspiration, and I can look into the product separately. But for the beginning, I recommend to do it as a joint exercise. And once this is done, and once this is clear, and we all agree, because what I often see and I've seen through all my career, and I'm absolutely certain that I am not alone. So not always team are aligned in one particular situation.
I'm sure.
It's seen by each member like in a very different. So
yeah.
The first step for me is consensus. So we all agree that this is the things we are working with, and this is how it's called, and this is like what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we explore the current portfolio with the current numbers, whether it brings money, whether it brings profit, whether it brings revenue, whether it brings new clients. And then the next steps, we are going into analyzing of the environment and understanding the trends.
Mm-hmm.
And trends, they, as we just explored the millennials, so how millennials buy, right? So now we have Gen Z, and their behavior is 100% different. So this is one set of the trends from the audience. Then we have trends from the market, from the competitors, from the technology. So I don't know, for instance, like a very clear and quick example, virtual call centers and assistants. So the business model, which lost its relevancy, I don't know, maybe like for a year or two.
Okay.
So we need to understand where does your business model stand on that front, and to see what to expect. And based on what to expect from the industry competitors and how your audience change, you are in a position to crystallize the value and the relevancy of the business model for the future for your company. And this is a pivot. So this is a pivotal point in this journey where now you have a new vision, a new audience, in new ways to reach your audience, in new ways to communicate and deliver value to them. And only after that, you actually can go do marketing. So then you can package into the brand, then you can package into communication, into media strategy, creative strategy, into everything. And what became more and more accessible and more important is storytelling and presence and mm-hmm. reputation. So this is where you can build reputation, but you can build reputation only based on a very clear understanding of the company value. So once you have that, then you have a story to tell. And of course, not on every stage of the business, you can actually invest that much into your value. So they need to be revised. And this is something that like often is sacrificed for the sake of tactical wins, which is totally normal for the business to survive. However, at some point of time, those tactical wins are not doing the trick anymore. And this is where you need to actually step back and take a closer look into the strategy, business model, relevancy, and then only then convert it into the marketing.
Sounds like a big job.
Yeah.
And I know you deal with some very large brands. So do you typically, are you usually within a specific operating company, maybe of a large brand? Or are you over at the top of the whole view of a brand?
You know, when I work with the companies, so my methodology, it comes from like my corporate experience and the visibility and exposure that I had there. And now my idea was to bring this expertise to a smaller scale companies.
Okay.
Because to be honest, not everyone can afford like McKinsey scale.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
And what is.
But yet they need it.
But they still need it. And they need it, I think, more, because when you're talking about a large enterprise and company, it has the right to make a mistake. It has like a back plan. It has a back resources to, not always, but
I understand.
When you talk about the small business, this is not the case. So like most of the states, they might be critical. And that is why we have such, I think 5% of small businesses, they survive 2 years and only 1% goes over 1 million in revenue, right? So this is exactly what's happening. So my idea was to create a framework, and given how much we can anticipate assistance from AI. So we are talking about solopreneurs companies, which is 95% relying on the AI. So you need to understand this, because when you're a solopreneur or when you have a small company, you're wearing many hats, and to help you not to wear one of them systematically is already something which is like very valuable.
Yes.
My idea was democratization, and my idea was to make it for mid-size and smaller businesses to get this enterprise quality. I don't want to say scale, because scale is irrelevant. Enterprise quality, strategic thinking.
Quality at the small and the mid-size level. So I would imagine you are able to find a lot of clients, or they find you.
Oh, yeah, this is
Because they do need, I mean, because we talk to small to mid-sized clients all the time. Most of them don't have full marketing departments. They, you know, they don't, a lot of them don't even have a strategy. It's just, what are we going to do this month? So I understand what you're saying. So how do you help clients define the true value of their business from a marketing perspective? And how does that translate into targeting the right audience and channels, especially when they're smaller? Because a lot of times they spread their web so wide and it's not working.
absolutely. So when we talk about finding the value, of course, I rely on the market needs and clients' pain. And when we talk about smaller clients, what I prefer to do is to identify in the first place the clients whose need in the service is very active or very painful, to make sure that they have an immediate result. And this allows them to scale the marketing system. So I think that like what I prefer to recommend is like to look back to understand who was buying in under which circumstances, the ideal buyer persona, to get some low-hanging fruits and quick wins. And then like, once we have this settled, this allows us to basically go up to the funnel and to say there are mid-funnel folks who are just thinking about it, or they're just considering, or they're choosing the partner to go with. So then we kind of work from bottom up, to make sure that the business has this like revenue and profit to be able to scale. Because if you start with vice versa, it just doesn't work because of it doesn't make sense for a small business. So this is what I do in the first, so fix the basics, and then to go from the lowest funnel client that we can reach, and then making a gradual steps up. So this is like one of the approaches which I see if we are talking about an established small business. If we are talking about startup with funding, of course it will be like vice versa, right? So we will identify which clients, groups, peers we need to be visible, and then we will identify the best tactics to remain visible. So if you need to remain visible to investors for a startup, it's the case. Right, so you need to have a strong PR campaign and storytelling campaign, and you need to participate in the conferences and all of that. So then we identify within the team a person who is comfortable with doing that. And then this person has their own agenda. These people have their own agenda on how to remain visible, active, podcasts, conferences, all of that. So depending on where in the cycle the company is, then like we tailor. So when I start working with a company, I start with the basics, because like basics and small things, micro things work and have cumulative effects. So This is the first thing. And then we grow up to what the company wants to achieve. So if, for instance, a business owner wants to have, I don't know, half million of million of profit and not to spend time with the family. So the strategy will be very different
Very
from
different.
a founder who wants to raise round C and to become a unicorn and everything.
Very
So,
different. Very
yeah.
different. And do you assist with both
Yes.
areas of interest? Okay. That's a widespread, right? But they both need it.
Yes, they both need it. And I think I'm very well equipped to do that because of my Fortune 500 companies experience, my top advertising work experience, and global role. So I do understand like the high level company visibility enterprise needs. And now being a small business for a couple of years and working with the small businesses, I do understand like the journey of a small business. So in that sense, I think that yes, it sounds like a very different things to do, but they all lie into the in my experience. I've done all of that.
Yeah. So one of my favorite questions is when you're looking forward, what is one strategic shift or mindset that you believe more B2B leaders need to adopt in order to stay competitive over the next couple of years?
I think that the B2B leaders need to make a shift of what, how they are bringing the value. So I think that every B2B leader needs to redefine how they bring the value to the customer. Because a lot of things now can be automated, a lot of things now can be done at the fracture of the cost. But what is that value proposition which will differ you from the competitors on one end, and on the other end, it will be an effective combination of the preciseness of AI tools and the human understanding in combination. So I think that B2B marketers who will be looking at their current services like that will win. Because if we're in a situation when a marketer is continuing to do what the marketer has been doing, but just faster with AI or more automated, I think that this is, it will lead nowhere. And now the market starts to show that the companies are going fully into AI customer service or AI sales, and then they got hit by the market that it doesn't work, that they consumers are losing loyalty, so all of that. So there's a happy medium, finding
Yeah,
happy
walking the
medium.
line, the fine line. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
that's one of the things that we've seen is just the being in the data business and marketing, supplying for marketing, for advertising, programmatic, social, that type of thing. We're seeing is the automation that you mentioned, where it used to be you had to hire an ad agency and spend millions of dollars. It's so some of the small businesses now, they can literally go into platforms, build an audience on the fly in an automated platform. It'll even make their creatives for them at a reasonable cost, and they can execute. But you mentioned LinkedIn, Meta, or programmatic. So that needing an agency where you spend $10 million or millions of dollars a month has come down. So it's fastly changing, as you mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah, we already have been through the shift. So I remember in the like earlier stages in my career. So the true advertiser was an advertiser who could afford TV advertising. And for many years it was like this, and it made, I think, everyone except advertisers happy. And then what happened? Google stepped in as a very asymmetric technology. And now what's happening, like everyone, so there was a very like huge burst of the small businesses. And if you look at the Meta and everyone, I think that Meta has a perfect understanding that they own the audience. So big brands will come to them anyhow. There is no other way because they own the audience. So that is why I think that what Meta does, and Mark recently told about the thing that they're making suit for the small businesses where they can do everything within the Meta ecosystem, which totally makes sense. And I think that the next step in this for the small businesses would be the idea that some of the researching companies are offering this right now. So you have an opportunity to create your persona and test creative concept products with your persona. And then you can place the media to reach those people, right?
Yep.
And it becomes the engine which works by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have your ideal audience, you have ideal needs, and then you can modify the product test, and then you can reach out to those like people according to the personas, mm-hmm. and then to see how they react to your product in real life and adjust.
And then, yeah.
Yes.
And what used to take Oksana months now can take weeks and change it on the fly, which is phenomenal. But then people had to be taught how to do it. So,
absolutely. I think that's, again, coming back to what B2B marketers need to do, I think it much more comes to leadership. Because before that, I'm sure you'll agree with me. So we were buried by a lot of technical works, putting together these technical pieces and everything. So there was very little time for leadership, true mm-hmm. leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once we outsource this to like whatever tools we mm-hmm. have, this is the true time to execute this leadership. And this is what churns the business model of the agency. So there need to be leaders for their clients much more than they used to be, not just a company which puts on air your advertising campaign. So I think that B2B leaders need to remain, like to rethink their leadership and how they lead to make sure that they're visible to their audiences.
And I think with the technologies and the AI that you mentioned, it is freeing up more time for them to actually focus on leadership. So I totally agree with you on that. So Oksana, you have a wealth of information. And now that I even understand that you do medium to small size businesses, how would somebody get in touch with you to be able to have a chat with you to see if they want to engage with you?
Please go to my LinkedIn. So on LinkedIn, I have 3 home strategy assessments. So where you can answer 10, 15 questions and understand where do you stay in terms of scalability, in terms of visibility. And this is a great way to start a conversation and for me to help your business.
And then your website is strategicforecaster.com, correct?
Yes.
Yes, and Oksana spells her name Oksana, and the last name is MatviIChuk. So I had to spell that because most people don't know how to. So Oksana, it was great having you on. You're a wealth of information, and I really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Paula.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Paula Keoki, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media, and don't forget to rate or review the podcast wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us grow and inspire others. If you're a successful business leader or marketing professional with insights to share, we'd love to feature you as a guest. Visit outwardmedia.com/podcast to learn more. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and connect with us on social media to join the conversation. Visit outwardmedia.com to explore how we can help take your strategic audience building to the next level. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.